So I invite you to keep your worship bulletin handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this evening, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you so you can accomplish that. Would you please pray with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight in your house of worship and praise. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds of all the things that have been poured into us today. Things that may have been good, but also the things that maybe aren't so good. Maybe sometimes we come to find that we've gathered a lot of static and a lot of stuff over the course of our day that's really getting in the way of us hearing your word. So tonight, Lord, through the work of your Holy Spirit, clear a path. Help us to hear it. Help us to apply it. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Tonight I wanted to ask you this question. Here you go. When was the last time you heard this statement? From someone you know, care about, or maybe you were the one who said it. We are just not on the same page. You ever said that? You ever heard that? Take a really quick moment with the person sitting next to you to share, when was the last time you heard that phrase? Maybe out of your own mouth, or out of the mouth of a spouse, a child, a parent, a brother, a sister, a coworker. The last time you heard the phrase, look, we are just not on the same page with this. Take 5 seconds. Ready, go. And don't say the last time Pastor Seth was on page 3 and the rest of the church was on page 2. We're trying to forget about that, right? Yeah. Well, maybe, I don't know what it was for you, but here are a couple of things, there are a few things that came to mind for me. We are not on the same page with what we're going to do this weekend. You ever find yourself saying that or hearing that from somebody? I want to go down to Indy. Well, I want to stay here in lovely Fort Wayne. Let's go down to Florida. It's a great place to vacation. Oh, let's go over to Colorado or Nebraska, right? That wasn't supposed to be that funny. Look. Ouch. All right. Or how about this? Housing. Boy, where are we going to stay? We're on the same page. I think as we go somewhere new, we should stay in an apartment. Or maybe we should do a rental. Or maybe we just flat out buy a house. Or how about this? Diet. How many of you have this conversation in your household? Where are we going for dinner tonight? In 1 second, shout it out. Your answer to dinner. What are you doing for dinner tonight? Ready, go. That's what I thought. We are not on the same page, are we? Now, what about things like money? How we're going to spend our money? What we're going to do with it? I think we should save. I think we should spend. I think we should go out and have something fun to do. Well, let's put a little bit aside, right? How about directions? Oh, Pastor Seth, don't go there tonight. Oh, we were just getting along, right? Yeah, you ever had that? You're in the car, the minivan, you're going down the interstate, and there's two people trying to direct, we'll say, right? Pull over here. No, it's the next one, I'm sure of it. Moments later, all right, I'll make a U-turn, right? We're just not on the same page, right? Maybe you can add some more to this short list that I came up with for us tonight. We're just not on the same page. Well, if we think back to our dear friend Jonah, I think it's safe to say that Jonah and the Lord are just not on the same page. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but there's a really key point that Jonah and the Lord just aren't seeing eye to eye on. They're just not on the same page. Jonah's reading from his own manual, and the Lord, well, he's the Lord, and he has his own word. And somehow, some way, they're kind of missing each other. And it's over this topic of compassion. And we hear this in our reading tonight, verse 1, once again. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. What's he upset about? At the end of chapter 3, verse 10, we hear this. We heard this last week. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Well, Jonah doesn't want any of this. He and the Lord just are not on the same page. God wants to show grace. God wants to show compassion. Jonah doesn't want any of it. So this is what he said. This is what happens in verses 2 to 3. Jonah prayed to the Lord. And just, I encourage you just to kind of hear his voice. Hear Jonah's voice as it's coming out from his heart, from his gut, from his place of discomfort, dissatisfaction, disapproval, right? He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord? When I was still at home, see, now we learn why he ran. You see that? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sin and calamity. It's almost like he's pouting, right? Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Talk about not being on the same page with the Lord. Once again, over something that shouldn't ruffle feathers, something that shouldn't stir up a frenzy, especially with God's people, over compassion. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you found yourself struggling to be on the same page as the Lord? Has it ever happened for you? It does for me. Don't let the clothing fool you. Don't let the cross fool you. Don't let the shoes fool you. Sometimes the Lord and I, we're not on the same page. And sometimes it's for some of these issues. What is it for you? Last time I was struggling to be on the same page with the Lord was when it came to stewardship. God has blessed me with all these things, time, talents, treasures, resources. And I think, me. Or like the seagulls from the movie Finding Nemo. You ever seen that? What do the seagulls say? Mine. Right? Jackson knows. Talk to Jackson after worship. It's not yours, God. It's mine. Maybe it's in the area of grace. God, not that guy. Not my neighbor. Nobody likes my neighbor. You want me to show grace to that guy? Maybe in the area of mercy or unconditional love. That's a tough one, isn't it? I'll love you as long as I like you. As long as you don't say something I disagree with, then I'll show love to you. Say something I don't want to hear, out of my face. Or maybe I threaten to disconnect my relationship with you. Right? We may hear some of these things. Sharing our faith. Well, how about that one? In our baptism, we get our marching orders. Go, tell people about Jesus. Well, Jesus, man, I got to be somewhere in 5 minutes. Easter extravaganza, Saturday morning. I got better things to do. I've been working all week. Lord, you know. How about the second chance? How about the person that's hurt you? Really found a way to get beneath your armor right here and right here. What about the second chance God's calling you and me to give to somebody? So the question is, are we on the same page with the Lord or not? And truth be told, if we're being honest with ourselves and with the Lord, who knows the answer already, the answer is, it's no. So back to Jonah. If we could kind of capture all that and bottle it in one short statement tonight, Jonah's attitude in a lot of ways is this. How could the Lord show so much grace, compassion, and forgiveness to them? And to them, the Ninevites. See, Jonah wants nothing to do with these people. I mean, for all he knows, they've been doing things they're not supposed to. They've been chasing things they're not supposed to. They've been worshiping stuff they shouldn't. They should have nothing to do with him and his God and his faith. How could God show them all this good stuff? Them? Really? Well, maybe, Jonah, maybe you need to fine-tune your question, Jonah. Maybe it's supposed to read a little more like this. How could the Lord show so much grace, compassion, and forgiveness to a guy like me? I mean, after all, God gave Jonah a gracious mission to go and change the hearts of a whole city, 120,000 people. Who wouldn't want that assignment? The Lord's got your back. He's going to go with you. He's going to change the hearts of a whole people. And yet, what does Jonah do? He goes that way. And then he's in the boat, deadliest catch, and the fishermen are like, what's going on here? And Jonah says, all right, toss me over. I'm done. Time out. He still wants to flee by dying. And yet, God sends a big fish, scoops him up, throws him on land, says, Jonah, I'm not done with you yet. Maybe the question has been framed wrong. Maybe it's not, what's wrong with them? Why is God showing them grace, them forgiveness, them mercy? Why them? Well, maybe the question is, why me? You see, out of grace, the Lord gives Jonah a model to live by. And whose model is it? You see it up there in yellow. Whose model is it? The Lord's. What do we hear in Jonah? Chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord says this: "Should I not have concern for that great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" You see, this is our God. This group of people is so confused. They don't know their right hand from their left. And you're thinking, well, there's days, Pastor Seth. There's days. If I didn't have the R and the L on my hand, you laugh because you know it's true. How spiritually lost are the people of Nineveh, right? They need grace. They need compassion. So God, in his grace, steps right alongside Jonah and says, all right, we need to take care of this. What about us? Out of grace, the Lord gives us a model to live by. And once again, whose model is it? The Lord's. Well, where in the world do we hear that? How about Matthew chapter 9? When Jesus saw the crowds, he had what? He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You ever seen sheep without a shepherd? I know, I haven't either. I haven't seen too many sheep running around. Maybe that makes a point. They're all gone already, right? But if we look back at this text, we realize that people are being fleeced out left and right. They're being abused, they're being taken advantage of, and they don't know their right hand from their left. So Jesus steps in. All right, what else do we learn about God's model? Matthew 15. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have what? I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Once again, whose model of compassion, whose model of grace? The Lord's. What else do we know? Mark chapter 1. If you want to know if Jesus is scared by things like disease or maybe other socioeconomic boundaries, I think we get our answer here. Mark records this for us. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with what?
Compassion.
With compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. See the order of that, by the way? What did he do first? He touched him. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And if all that wasn't enough for you and me for tonight, guess what else we get as a great reminder of the kind of design and template and model of grace God gives to you and to me? Guess what we get this season? We get Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And in case you missed it, look at the cross. If you want to know what God's response is to all the times we've not been on the same page with him, look at the cross. In a big way, this Lent season, we hear this message from our God. Out of compassion, I give my life for yours. For forgiveness we didn't deserve. For mercy we shouldn't have gotten. For love, we've turned away so many times. We probably lost count. This is our God. This is his model. This is his template. And this is his marching order to you and to me this Lenten season. Tonight, where is the Lord calling you to be on the same page in these areas? Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight that you would once again send your grace and your patience and your divine mercy to us. Father, if we're being honest with ourselves tonight, and that's really hard, but if we're being really honest with ourselves tonight, then we'd have to admit that we are oftentimes not on the same page with you. You call us to show grace, and yet we hold it back. You call us to love, and yet we put conditions on it. You call us to go, and we come up with a whole list of reasons why not. Father, we thank you for responding to us with grace. We thank you for giving us numerous second chances. Father, you alone know the things that we're struggling with tonight, the things that we've maybe left at work or in our own home or neighborhood this very day. You also know the places you're wanting us to go. Just like Jonah, you've given us a divine assignment, a mission to show people who you truly are and what you're all about. So we pray, Lord, that you would take away all the barriers, all the blocks, all the struggles. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be the kind of people you've called us to be, a people who live by the design and template of our good and gracious and compassionate God, who in this Lenten season, we remember, gave his life for us on the cross, died, rose again, and is coming back in love. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. This time in our story,